Okay, it's April the 18th, 2021. You know, I've heard this all my life, but I don't care how much you hear it. You don't understand it until you start to get a little age on you, and then you understand that, man, time flies. I mean, it doesn't seem like it ought to be April the 18th, but it is. I guess the closer you get to what you think is probably going to be death, the quicker time flies. First Peter chapter 1. We are, because the subject matter is continuing from last week, we'll start at verse 17. We ended off at verse 16 last week. A commandment from God, be ye holy, for I am holy. The apostle says here, we're going to read verses 17 through 21. The sermon is on verse 17, but it's a continuous sentence from verse 17 down through 21. So let's read all of that. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning and pray your blessings upon it. Pray that you'd forgive us of our sins, Father. Pray that you would help us to do those things that are pleasing unto thee on a daily basis. Forgive us when we are unable to, in our own minds and souls, that we come short of the glory of God. Even worse things than that, we just out and out sin, and we ask you to forgive us for those things. And we pray that you would help us as we go through our sojourning here, that we would be a good witness when we go out into the world, into the marketplaces and different places that we go, even amongst family. Lord, that we might be good witnesses and good examples before them. We pray that you'd strengthen us in the inner man, cause us to grow in Christ and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you call on the Father, he said, the Father of Christ he's talking about, and the Father of all saints, those born from above by the Spirit of the living God. That's who he's talking about here in verse 17. And if you call on the Father. This takes up the same subject that we had last week. An argument of why we must live and engage to a life of holiness. Not just in deeds done, but in external and internal worship of our God, especially in prayer. We should be careful that we do not blaspheme or cause others to blaspheme. And you remember the scripture where the apostle said that these believers were causing others to blaspheme, or members of churches were causing others to blaspheme for some of the things that they were doing. So let's be careful that we don't do that, that we don't cause others to blaspheme that worthy and holy name by which we are called. And God is a God of justice. Another reason why we should live holy lives. God the Father is a judge. Now what he said there in verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Says he's a judge. And it is certain and sure that there is a final judgment after death, or on that final day of the second coming, and it will come to all persons and things. And though God judges no man, the scripture says, he has committed all judgment to his Son and will judge the quick and the dead. So the Father will judge all by that man, Christ Jesus. So he's still judging, but he's doing it through that man, Christ Jesus, the God-man. He is judging all. So the Father is judging all through Christ Jesus. All will become before his judgment seat. All will stand, where there will be no respect of persons, Jew or Gentile, or from any and all nations. There will be no respect of persons. Doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, Jew, Gentile. It doesn't matter what you are. Doesn't matter what status of life you were in. It's going to have nothing to do with any of those things. Not going to have anything to do with what you've done externally. What you've done in deeds. As far as getting yourself up on the Lord's Day and coming in church. Got nothing to do with that. It's got nothing to do with that. Now we do know that they are different degrees of punishment in hell. And I imagine for those people where the gospel was preached and lived in a nation like this one, and you still reject him, may be more severe on you than in places like Iran and China, where, well, China's preaching the gospel now. Well, they were until the Communist Party come down on them. But in places where the gospel's never been preached, it'll probably be harder on people where they've heard the gospel and had it available to them and still refuse to come to the Lord Jesus. The judge will not look on outward things of any kind, but he looks on the heart. I've heard people say, and you probably have too, said, well, I do wrong things, but my heart is right. No, that's an oxymoron. That's an oxymoron. That's not possible. We all do wrong things. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. But you're not trying to use what you've done to get you to heaven. You're leaning upon the mercy and the grace and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it follows, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And the title of the sermon today is In Fear. The people of God in this world are sojourners, as all of their fathers were. I mean their spiritual fathers, of course. We're from this world. We were born here. Our fathers were born here on this earth, but that was the first birth. And after the second birth, the people of God are called sojourners here. In other words, this is not our home. It was like when Jacob was sojourning and Abraham was sojourning and the children of Israel were sojourning down in Egypt and through the wilderness. That was not their home. Well, this earth is not the home of God's people. We're only sojourners here. Matter of fact, the scripture says that they were looking for a new city. They were looking for a new home. This was not their home, meaning our forefathers, believers. And that doesn't just mean since Christ's time, that means from Adam's time, on down the line. Now, this judgment of God that's coming on all, every man, every person is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. It's a certain thing. Every man's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge all. So God is a judge. The Son of God is judging all for the Father. And He'll judge us. But our judgment falls upon the Lord Jesus Christ. After we were born again by the Spirit of the God, the living God, the Spirit of God birthed us from above. We became sojourners on this earth. And when we are sojourners on this earth, that means we're looking for another city, another home. We're looking for it. We're not just wondering when we die if we're going to go to heaven. We're not bragging that we're going to heaven. We still pray, Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the older we get, the more we see ourselves like the apostle saw himself, and that was the least of the saints. We have our citizenship in another country. In another land, a heavenly one. We are citizens of another city. We're sojourning through this wilderness, but we're headed to another city. You know, I watch cowboy movies every now and then, and I was watching one night this week, laying in my bed. Oh, I know who it was. It was one of our great heroes from World War II. His name's Audie Murphy. Was, if not the most decorated person in World War II, he was one of the most decorated persons in World War II. Audie Murphy. And I forgot the name of the little cowboy movie that he was doing. I think it had something to do with The Wild and the Innocent. And he was telling the young girl that he had met, he said something about, I read in a book, and he quoted some scripture. I'm surprised, but this was back in the 1950s. He quoted, she said, you can read? He said, yeah, I've read the Bible. And he said, I've read Pilgrim's Progress. I thought, that's good stuff to be on a cowboy show. If you read Pilgrim's Progress, you can better understand that this is a pilgrimage, a sojourning that all believers are on, and we're going through a wilderness. And we're headed for that celestial city. And there's many dangers between here and there. There's many sorrows between here and there. There's many troubles between here and there. And we're going to go through those. We're going to go through the shadow of the valley of death. We're going to go through that. We're going to go through many heartaches and sorrows, fears. We're going to go through all that. But this scripture here says, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, only believers are sojourners. Worldly people are not sojourners. They like it here. They love it here. They don't ever want to die. They want to stay here forever. They want to stay young forever. They don't, but they want to. I don't want to stay young. Do you know how dumb I was when I was young? I mean, at least I've gained a little bit of knowledge. But they like it here. Believers don't. We're here by the grace and by the will of God, sojourning and going through our wilderness until we reach that celestial city. And then we're going to cross Jordan. And then we'll be home. We'll be home. I want to look at a few scriptures, if we have time. Let me back up here just a little bit. And get to my notes I made on here. 2 Peter chapter 1. I was going to start at verse 10, but you don't quite get the grasp of this. Let's start at verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things, and has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, if you want to know about some of those promises, you can read in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all over the Old Testament, but you can also read them in a glimpse at Hebrews chapter 11. He's given us great and precious promises that by these promises, you might be partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's just another reason that we do our best to live a holy life, to pray every day as many times as we possibly can, and stay in a constant mind of prayer. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now, we've been through this some before. We're not going through all the meanings of each one of these words this morning. But that's a nutshell telling you how that we ought to live on a daily basis. How that we ought to be growing continuously, adding these things to our nature and to our living, our daily lives. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather. Now he's talking about verse 9 there, where he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's the celestial city that John Bunyan is talking about in Pilgrim's Progress. I urge you, if you've never read that, or if you don't read it on a pretty regular basis, refresh your memory and read Pilgrim's Progress. And for certain, read the Scriptures daily. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Well, how can you make your calling and election sure? How do you know that you've been called by the Spirit of God? And how do you know that you were elected and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world? For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you do these things that he said from verse 3 down to verse 7 and verse 8, you make your calling and election sure. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So give all diligence to do these things. Know what they mean. Know what it means for our everyday lives, things that we're supposed to do. And do those things. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. The apostle is saying, dearly beloved, talking to the brethren, I beseech you, I beg of you, I exhort you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Like I told you, this whole verses that I read here from 17 to 21 are in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, is a continuation of verses 14 through 17, through 16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's what Peter is saying there. I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. If you want to grow, you want your soul to grow, then abstain from fleshly lust. Abstain from them. Stop them. Proverbs 14:16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. But the fool rageth and is confident. That's the word I was looking for a while ago. I remember when I was younger, I was very confident. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. I was saved, baptized, and there's no doubt about it. I'm a-going. And I still believe that today. But it's almost, I don't know the word I want to use here. Don't brag, the Bible says. Don't be high-minded. Don't be high-minded like you think you're better than others, like we've known people to do. Be humble, the Bible says. Well, the last part of our scripture says it. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Not fear of the judgment of God coming on you. Not fear of being cast into the eternal lake of fire. For we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we can be confident in that, but not high-minded in that. Not putting yourselves above others. For we were once lost in our sins also. and is only by the grace of God, and is only by continuing our education in the knowledge and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ that we can have the grace to have confidence that we're going to heaven. But don't be high-minded and bragging about it. Be humble, because it is only by the grace of God that we'll enter into that kingdom. Proverbs 28 and 14 says, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." In other words, always fear the Lord. We'll get to it in a minute. We'll get to it in a minute. How we're supposed to fear. But these scriptures, just like this one, "Happy is the man that feareth always." In other words, fears God. And the Bible is full of these scriptures that talks about fearing God. Romans 11:20 says, "Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear." Let's turn to Romans 11. My wife saw me squinting to see that clock. I can see pretty good at a distance, but I don't know what it is. If it's diabetes or age or what, you older folks can tell me. But a lot of the times when I'm looking at something, you know, far from here back under that clock, if I'll do my eyes a certain way, I can see a whole lot clearer. I don't know if that's diabetes or just me getting older, but the doc says I got 20/20 vision out through yonder. 11 and verse 20. Let's back up a little bit. Let's start at verse 11 there. "I say then, have they stumbled?" Talking about the Jews. "Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy." Now that was the purpose of God for the Jews falling, that they may be provoked to jealousy because the Gentiles, and Brother Les Feldman, if you listen to him at all, it won't take you long to figure out that he believes that more and better than most of us. That the purpose of the Jews falling, and that they're coming back, God's going to save them. Millions of them before Christ returns. Wouldn't that be wonderful if the Jews didn't wear that little thing on their head anymore and try to keep the civil and the dietary laws of the Old Testament? If they understood that their righteousness comes only by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator between man and God, that would be wonderful. And according to the scriptures, that's going to happen before the end of time. That's going to happen before the Lord Jesus returns. But this is, let's go on. "Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world," meaning the Gentile world, "and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." Well, there's been a lot of Jews saved along the way. "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Don't forget that all the apostles were Jews. The Lord Jesus himself was a Jew. They were just converted Jews. And there's been many of them through the ages. Just read the Bible. The Bible's full of converted Jews. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in amongst them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. I told you, don't be high-minded. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And you wonder why we ought to fear God. His severity is severe. So no matter what happens over the next months, years to this nation, remember Romans chapter 11 here. The severity of God on unbelief. For this is an unbelieving nation. There's a remnant here. There's no doubt about it. They're all over these United States. But you see how few and far between they are these days. If you don't think that they're few and far between, as many churches as we have around us, all over this county and all over this state, just journey down to that store that I don't care for, that we have to use every now and then because they've put everybody else out of business. Just journey down to that store and wander around. And you tell me that those people in there that you see, even though they'll have on shirts that says, God said or God did or God whatever, don't look any further than the shirt down. Because it would cause a sailor to blush. It's just unreal. It's evident that they don't read the scriptures. Or either they are like a lot of the modern day churches that only take the part that they want, and that is Jesus died for everybody. And all you got to do is trust in him, and that only means that you pray and ask him to save your soul and you just carry on just like you want to. That's not what my Bible says. That's not what he says here. That's like women not speaking in the church. Well, that's taboo these days. You can't say that. Oh, don't. Oh, you're going to offend the women. Don't say that. I'm not saying it. The book says it. Three or four times it says it. Let a woman keep silent in the church. And there's a reason for that. And we at Zion know that reason. We've been over Galatians, Ephesians. We know the reason. It's got something to everything to do with a wife being submissive unto her husband. And that the husband is the head of the home. Oh no, don't say that, preacher. That's going to offend people. You just offended is all I can say. All I'm doing is reading the book. So don't forget, don't be high-minded. Second Corinthians 5:6 says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We're sojourning here. We're on a pilgrimage here. We're going through the wilderness, headed for the celestial city. As long as we're in this body. In other words, it's not a bad thing for a believer to leave this body and let them lay it in the ground. It's not a bad thing. Preachers love to preach funerals for believers. They love to preach funerals for believers because they can use scriptures like this. Second Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, and we're not going to have time to read all those promises. It talks about in chapter 6 and chapter, no, I'm in the wrong book. Yeah. Chapter 7, verse 1 should have been chapter 6, verse 19. But from verse 11 of chapter 6 down through here, he gives promises. And he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In fear, the title of the message. In fear, Philippians 2:12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It seems like you have to get to the age of 60 or more before you understand what that verse means. You have to get to the place where you can see death coming. It's yonder. I mean, it could be before I step down from behind this pulpit. But it's a lot closer than it was when I was younger. But now I understand better what he means. Wherefore, beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, work out in your mind and in your spirit what's actually happened to you. That you've been born again by the Spirit of the living God. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, bore our sins in His own body on the tree. He paid the debt that we owed God the Father. And now God the Holy Spirit lives in our bodies as a temple, and so we should treat it. He lives in our bodies as a... And that is the essence of our promise while we're still on this earth, is that God the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in us, prays for us, intercedes for us, teaches us all truth, teaches us all the things that the Lord Jesus taught while He was on this earth. God the Holy Spirit now does that because God the Son, the mediator between God and man, is not here. Not in body anymore. He's here. Not in body. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. As God the Father is, and God the Holy Spirit is. But God the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in us. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Let us therefore fear, Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You wonder why we're supposed to live here in fear of God. Not fear of His judgment. Fear of not having what we claim to have. Fear of the discipline that can come upon you if we do not live the lives that we're supposed to. And the suffering that we'll suffer because we don't live like we ought to live. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I got one more scripture and we'll close. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Young people don't understand this anymore, and most modern day church people don't understand this anymore. Reverence has got a lot to do with how you behave in the house of God. It also has a lot to do with how you use God's name. People use it as though it's nothing. Look, for you to call Him the old man upstairs is the same as blasphemy with me. He's not the old man upstairs. He's the creator of all things, and He's the Almighty God, present everywhere, knows everything, the all-wise God. And He is not to be referred to in such a way. Nor the Lord Jesus' name to be used in such a way. Don't blaspheme. And don't cause others to blaspheme by the way we live our lives. The way we talk. The things we do and the things we say. Don't blaspheme. Amen. Brother Pappy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us and we'll be dismissed.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we have much to be grateful for this morning. Yet we have much to be in prayer for. We have many that are sick and afflicted among us. We pray, Lord, that you have mercy upon them.
Pray that you heal them if it be thy will. I thank you, Lord, that you blessed my pastor this morning. He was able to be here to preach to us this day.